Let's get to hour number two. Welcome to the program. My name is Jim Rome. A tremendous Monday to you. We are live, as we always are, in Southern California. Glad you found time. Nice to have you here. Coming up at the top of hour number three, or 1 hour from right now, Wesley Woodyard, good friend of the program, joins us. And as a reminder, the show is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. My toll phone number is toll-free. It's good in the U.S. It's good in Canada, wherever you are, quickly. 1-800-636-8686. But first things first, we are joined by the head football coach at Indiana. He is in his fourth full season as Hoosiers head coach. Indiana with a really impressive win over number 23 Michigan on Saturday, 38-21. That's their first win over Michigan in 33 years. Indiana is undefeated. They're 3-0. They're number 10 in both polls. They're at Michigan State on Saturday, noon Eastern. We are joined by Indiana head coach Tom Allen. Tom, welcome back. Good to have you on the show. Tom, how are you?
I'm doing great. Excited to be back on the show.
Good to have you back on the show. So you're coming off that win over Michigan where you were up 24-7 at half thanks to Michael Penix Jr., quarterback, and your defense forcing three and outs on Michigan's first four possessions. Let me start right there. What was your message to the team before the game, and then how pleased were you with the way they came out, set the tone, and dominated from the outset?
You know, we just felt like we needed to start fast. You know, that's something we hadn't done. I didn't feel like in the last couple of games, especially offensively. And so to me, against an opponent of Michigan's caliber, I just felt like that was going to be a huge thing for us, and made a big deal about it during the week, and the emphasis on execution and being able to be locked in right from the very beginning. And so, man, I thought our guys started fast and then finished strong, both the half and the end of the game. So really pleased with the way our guys responded to that challenge.
Indiana coach Tom Allen, my guest. I want to get to the rest of the game in a moment, but before I do that, I want to talk about something that took place in the locker room after the game. Somebody yelled out, "Hey, coach," and then the rest of the team shouted, "We love you," and then you jumped into their arms. It really was an amazing moment. Can you describe what that moment felt like to you?
Well, it's just a special bond with our team here. There's, you know, such a strong amount of passion and emotion that we feel for each other because we've been through so much together. And the guys, they believed in me when they came here as recruits, and we sold a vision for what we thought we could do here. And, you know, I believe we could do the things that we're doing right now. And not everybody agreed with me, but these players did, or they wouldn't have come. And so for these guys to be able to just respond that way, I mean, just the only thing I can just do is just jump into their arms, man. I was just so happy for them, and for them to be able to be rewarded for believing and for all the things that we've asked them to do and sacrifice and how hard they've worked. And I just love them, and they love me right back.
You can tell. Tom Allen joining us. In fact, I said that I would get back to that notion of love in a minute, but I'd rather just keep it there for one more second. I mean, when you talk about that, love each other, why is that such an important concept to you as a coach and one that you have at the center of your program?
Well, I just think it's about relationships. And when the players know that you love them more as an individual person than as a football player, everything changes. And that's how we built this program. That's how I built my whole coaching career. That's what I was modeled by my father. And it's about people. It's about relationships. It's about coaching from the heart to the heart. And, you know, I feel that this is what I was called to do. I feel like this is why the good Lord put me on this earth, was to be a football coach, to impact lives through this profession and this great sport of football. And when you're doing it for those reasons, and when you believe you've got an ulterior purpose that's way bigger than the game, I think the guys, they understand that. I want these guys to be, great men. I want them to be future husbands and fathers that have character and stand up for what they believe in and learn to fight for what they believe in. And to me, it's just a powerful thing when they understand it's not about just, you know, going out there and winning football games for the guys around. It's about doing things together that are special. And so that's what LEO means to me. And it's not about me. And I don't care who gets the credit. I want this whole football team to have that mindset.
Indiana head coach Tom Allen joins us. So you held Michigan to 13 rushing yards. You nearly doubled them up in terms of times of possession. From the outside, that felt like a pretty complete domination, both in terms of the score and the physicality. So how pleased were you with the physicality on both sides of the ball?
I'm very pleased. And I knew that was going to be the key. And it all starts up front. In our program, we talk about big men lead the way. on the offensive line, on the defensive line. They set the tone. You got to be able to run the football and stop the run. And we were able to do both of those things, and then obviously we throw the football effectively. And I just feel like that, you know, that's how you win games. That's how you finish games. We were able to get the ball back with 5:05 to go in the fourth quarter and never gave it up again by running the football, running the clock out, making them burn their timeouts. And so to me, that was a critical part. That's our weight room. It's our toughness. It's our grit. It's the fight of this program. And I'm just really proud of the guys and the way they're able to finish it out on Saturday.
We're talking to Tom Allen. Tom, let me get you to go back to Penix for a minute, because his high school coach, Jason Roberts at Tampa Bay Tech, has talked about all the things that other programs thought that Michael could not do. Like, some want him to play defense. Others didn't want a left-handed quarterback, and on and on. When you watch him play, what are the things that jump out to you in terms of what he can do and what makes him special?
Well, first of all, you know, he has a really innate ability to read coverages, just very instinctive with understanding defensive concepts and where the ball needs to go, makes those decisions very quickly. And then you mix in the natural talent of a quick release, a strong arm. The velocity of that football is coming at you quick, and it's able to just knife right in there. He's extremely accurate. And that, to me, is the quality that just makes for a great quarterback. So I thought he was a quarterback from day one, never even talked about or even, you know, thought about playing any other position. Thought he had great leadership skills. He's quiet, but he has a quiet confidence about himself. And he absolutely is never too big. The moment's never too big for him. And it's been that way since day one. And he just is calm and cool out there and just making plays.
All right, so when you and I spoke before the season started, we talked about all the things that had not been done in a long time at IU before you took over, and the fact that you're accomplishing those things right now, like, that was the first win over Michigan in 33 years. I know you're on to the next challenge, but if I were to get you to stop and think on that for a minute, how significant does that feel?
Well, it's a big deal. You know, I was a senior in high school the last time Indiana beat Michigan, and to be able to do something that many others have struggled to do. And, you know, since I've been here, we've had some close calls and we're not able to finish. And it just to be able to just kind of erase some of these negative things that people decide that you can't do based on your past. And that, to me, has been the big challenge to this football program, to these players, is to not listen to those things. And there's no doubt, we've been, every time we turn around, there's another milestone that we're able to cross off, or we haven't done this since this many years ago. And to me, that just feeds into the whole mindset that we got a strong belief here in this program, and we're not going to be judged, and we're not going to be, you know, our future is not going to be dictated based on our past.
So not only that, but also a strong culture, a strong identity. As an example, defensive back Reese Taylor was asked after the game about the goal of being a top 10 defense in the season or for the season. His response was, quote, "We should be number one in the country in my eyes." Like, what does that tell you about the culture and the identity and the belief you're talking about that you've been able to build and instill in this program?
Well, from day one, I've told our team this: before there's a reality, there's a mentality. And if you don't believe in yourselves, why should anybody else? And so with that mindset in place, we just said, hey, this is what I believe we can do here. If you believe this, get on board. If you don't, then you just need to step aside and let somebody else take your place. And that goes for coaches and players. And that's been that way from the very beginning. And these guys have bought in. We set goals. We set things. And then we go work to achieve those. And we work our tails off here. And we don't just sit here and talk about things. We have a tremendous work ethic. And there's a toughness that's built in this program. And there's just an absolute belief and a desire to be able to accomplish those things that many said we could not do. So to me, it's a collective effort of everybody doing their job, everybody doing little things right every single day, and that creates that belief. And to me, it's about preparation.
I like that, Bullet. Before there is a reality, there is a mentality. All right, so one final thought. Next up is Michigan State Saturday. It is early in the week, of course, but what concerns you the most about facing them?
Well, I think they have a very, very talented receiver core. That's how they beat Michigan. They shoot the ball over their head consistently. And a lot of accuracy from their quarterback, big physical offensive line, physical defense. You know, that's a program that's built off those principles as we played them over the years, always that way. And they got an edge about them. And so to me, very good football team. Big Ten, road game. We got to be at our very, very best. We can't be sitting here and reading our press clippings and listening to everybody talk to us about how excited they are about what we're doing. And to me, it's about a 1-0 mindset. We got to do a great job preparing this week and play our best football on Saturday in East Lansing.
We were talking to Tom Allen. First win over Michigan in 33 years. They are 3-0. They are number 10 in both polls, and that is the next opportunity, the next challenge. Michigan State at East Lansing on Saturday. Tom, thank you very much. Good to have you back on the show.
Oh, thanks so much, buddy. Have a great day.
You too. Great talking to you. What a great, great win that was. But not surprising at all. Let me talk to you about that coach for a minute. Tom Allen can straight coach. Straight up coach. As I mentioned, I think at this point, when you look at Indiana, you look at Michigan, they've got the better program. They've got the better team. And they've got the better coach. If you look at his resume and you look at what he's accomplished, he's made everybody better. Everybody. Ole Miss, South Florida. He was in Indiana as their D coordinator before he was named head coach. Very smart. Great energy. A, quote, love-based coach. His players love him. What a great story that is. That somebody yelled out in the locker room, hey, coach. And then the rest of the team yelled out, we love you. I mean, normally that would seem like so cheesy, right? But when you think about that going down at a high-level program, and that's not like some peewee football right there. That's IU. That's Indiana after a win over Michigan. And the entire team saying, we love you, coach. And he runs into their arms, man. It's kind of a cool, cool moment, especially since they mean it. And they go out and they execute off it. I love that take, too. Like, you better believe it. You better have that belief. And if you don't, step aside. We'll find somebody else who does. And he said, I would say the same thing about the coaches. And they're proving it. Top 10 in both polls, and they're doing things that either have not been done in decades or have never been done before at IU, and not surprising at all. Hey, remember when they were a basketball school? Look at Indiana. All right, so let me open it up to you because we do not have another interview until the top of the hour. 1-800-636-8686. Dear Jim, the Bucks stink. I haven't seen a Brady get shut down that thoroughly since Flo Henderson told Greg, no chance. Brenton Bugaha. Ward Dalvin Cook dragging Kirk Cousins, useless keister, into the playoffs.
You like that?
All right, a couple things. Cousins actually played better yesterday. Got off to a good start. But Dalvin Cook's been unbelievable. Unbelievable. So when you want to talk about how running backs really don't matter that much anymore, and there's only a couple that do, put him in that conversation. This guy's been amazing. How about Brenton Bugaha dragging out the old Flo Henderson shut down Greg Brady? True story, apparently. What?
Shut it down!
If you were G, you wouldn't try to get with Flo? Come on, man. Maybe Marsha already said no. 1-800-636-8686. All right, quick reset for you, too. I do want to talk about the Bucks and the Saints. Where does that leave the two of those teams? Saints obviously are better than people gave them credit for. The Bucks are not nearly as good as people gave them credit for. But does that mean that the Bucks are DOA? Not necessarily. But nothing about them last night said Super Bowl contender. And the NFC is wide ass open. Hey, Bills Mafia, why should I get hyped on you if you're not hyped on you? And if you're not hyped on you, and it seems to me you're not, or you'd be calling right now. What a great effort. What a great statement. Josh Allen looked amazing. And the things that some of his teammates are saying about him say exactly how they feel about him. Also, I do want to talk about the passing of Alex Trebek. There is a sports tie-in, as you know. And I do want to talk also about a big-time player, Keith Smith, and his diet. I'm always fascinated by athletes and the way they fuel themselves. You know, it didn't used to be like this, but more and more, you're looking for that edge. You're looking for that separation. These guys, I mean, body is temple. Their bodies are their money makers. And it's not one of those deals where you do what you want in the offseason like the old school, and then you use training camp to get into shape. It's a full-time job. 24/7, 365. What kind of fuel are you running on? What are you putting into your body? It's your money maker. Body as temple. And then you see guys go vegan. You see guys go plant-based. You see guys living at Chipotle. All of those things coming up. How about Miami? What a great game that was. Tua and Kyler. And suddenly now Miami is 5-3. What do you know? One of the Hood's proteges is going to make it as a head coach. Brian Flores is killing it with the Dolphins. What a great job he's doing. All of that still ahead. And Wesley Woodyard coming up the top of the hour. Do not go anywhere. Dell Technologies just announced that their Black Friday sale, it's on. They're releasing new door busters every weekday, plus up to 50% off cutting-edge tech for your business. And there is no better time to upgrade your small business with the latest laptops and desktops with Intel Core processors. And there is free shipping on everything. Yes, everything. Give Dell Technologies Advisors a call right now. They will identify the right tech solution for your business. Call 877-ASK-DELL or go to dell.com/SBBlackFriday. 877-ASK-DELL, 877-ASK-DELL.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
This weekend on CBS, it will truly be a tradition, unlike any other, when the best players in the world are on the course at Augusta National. A special autumn at the Masters with live coverage Saturday at 1 Eastern and Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific on CBS. So look for that this weekend. It's going to be a good time. I think we'll hit on the Masters on our podcast this week. I think Elk makes his triumphant return. And by think, I mean I know. Elk is going to give us his Masters preview, mate. All right, so let me change up on you. If things that suck was a category on the big blue board, and this is the undisputed worst year ever was a clue, what is 2020? Would be the answer. And the answer would be fittingly in the form of a question. Because yesterday, the devil that is pancreatic cancer took Jeopardy host and TV icon Alex Trebek at the age of 80. Of course, Alex Trebek is as household as they come, because this man was literally a staple in millions of homes, households, five nights a week for nearly four decades, which is amazing when you think about it. Aaron Rodgers was one of the many, many people who wrote about Trebek yesterday saying, quote, 6 p.m. weeknights will never be the same. So many great memories, and I'm thankful to have met him, end quote. So over nearly four decades, George Alexander Trebek hosted arguably America's most popular game show. Never missed an episode. Never. Except for that one time on April Fool's Day in 97 when he switched roles with Pat Sajak. And he did Wheel of Fortune and Sajak did Jeopardy. Which is pretty curious. One's like the hardest game show ever and one's the easiest. I mean, yeah, at times, I've got to say, my guy did come off as smarter than the rest of us, which at times I found amusing, given that he was the one who was given all the answers ahead of time. But from a television standpoint, really, from a professional standpoint, he was a pro's pro. And he did provide comedy at times with his harsh reactions to contestants who buzzed in incorrectly. I'll reset some of the best ones in a moment. I want to go back, though, to March of 2019 when he first revealed a stage 4 diagnosis. And I mention this because over the years I've done this show and you've heard me use this phrase. We all either know somebody who's had cancer. We all either know somebody who has cancer or we know somebody who knows somebody who has cancer. So I want to go back to when he first revealed that he was stage 4. It was then that he vowed to fight the low survival rate as hard as he could and to continue working as long as he could, which is exactly what he did. For nearly 2 years, he hosted that show while undergoing debilitating treatments that he openly admitted put him in a state of depression. but he was active. Not only in going to work, but he raised a lot of money and a lot of awareness. He became the new face of pancreatic cancer. He became one of the top fundraisers for Purple Stride LA. 8 months after his diagnosis, during an episode in November, a contestant used Final Jeopardy as an opportunity to reveal a note to Trebek on his podium screen that nearly brought the game show host to tears.
Did you come up with the right one? No. What is "We love you" out? That's very kind of you. Thank you.
Costs you $19.95. You're left with $5. Okay.
I mean, you can hear him getting choked up as he reads the note that said, "We love you, Alex." And if you know that show, you know that moment will go down as one of the most iconic in Jeopardy history. In addition to the outpouring of support, he also got to host the incomparable run of James Holzhauer, who made national news during his unprecedented run in the final 18 months of Trebek's life. Like that run from Jeopardy, James spawned the GOAT Tournament, a four-night primetime event which he also hosted while he was undergoing treatment. So now part of the appeal of the show, of course, was the unintentional comedy that was spawned when you put three nerds, bookworms, on TV every single night. And then you ask them 61 questions. You're going to get some moments now. And most of the very best moments revolved around sports. Because said nerds, bookworms, we're not really into sports, right? How about this question about which NFC team has never played in the Super Bowl?
As of 2010, it's the only current National Football Conference team that has never played in the Super Bowl. Detroit Lions is what we're looking for.
I don't
actually Jacksonville
care.
Panthers. No, it's the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I mean, in fairness to her, she's right. The Jacksonville Panthers have never been to the Super Bowl, nor will they ever. Here is another awesome fail.
Joel Embiid in 2019 won the trademark for this nickname of his that also describes the 76ers' strategy of improving the team.
Paul, what is do a 180?
Nope.
That might be my favorite one ever. Man, that dude just pulled that right out of his ass. Do a 180.
What is do a 180?
Nope.
I mean, that is so bad. That is so dumb. That is so funny. You couldn't dream that up if I gave you a week, a month, a year, the rest of your life. Here's some more great whiffs.
100-plus assists in an NHL season has been accomplished only 13 times, 11 times by this player.
Joe, who's Magic Johnson?
Oh, no. Talking about hockey, not the NBA.
In 2010, Cam Newton became this university's third Heisman Trophy winner.
What is Ohio State?
No, what is Auburn? You're obviously not a big football fan.
Though he didn't play organized hoops until the ninth grade, this Spurs center is a three-time NBA Finals MVP. Leah.
Who is Parker?
No. Hans.
Is Carmelo Anthony?
No. Come on, team.
354 wins did not overcome the controversy as this ex-Red Sox pitcher didn't make the Hall of Fame cut in 2013. Gudrun?
Who is Pete Rose?
No. Stacy.
Who is Kurt Schilling?
No. Sarah.
Who is Mark McGuire?
No. Obviously, you're hoping that baseball does not come up as a topic.
Colleges by team names for 200.
Crimson Tide. Terry.
What is Auburn?
No.
How many times do you think that he won? And because he's such a pro, he didn't. But how many times do you think he won to say no, dumbass? But those are made so much better. They're so good already, but so much better because of the trademark disdain of one George Alexander Trebek. Again, a pro's pro, a TV legend. Gone, but never, ever forgotten. Just like this answer on Celebrity Jeopardy from Kareem.
What is X?
No.
Rest in peace, AT. Thanks for the memories. May the next host be as gracious as you were, and may he or she hate wrong answers as much as you did. Man, good luck following that guy. Who'd want that gig? It's like following Bob Barker. We've seen how that's gone. Or Richard Dawson. But even tougher, I think.
In the United States are NC-17, R, PG, PG-13, and this one.
Kareem.
What is X?
No.
Dude, get your head out of the gutter, Kareem. Come on, man. X? Perv?
Went in the wrong
direction. What is triple X?
We were looking for a G rating, not an X rating. Remember, Kareem, this is...
What is Pornhub?
Dana, pick again.
Come on, man. What is not safe for work, big man?
Who is Parker?
No.
Is Carmelo Anthony?
Who is Pete Rose? Much respect, though, for going at the devil and fighting as hard as you did until the very end. Much respect for that.
Do a 180?
Nope.
And much respect for letting that guy on and saying, do a 180?
Do a 180?
Nope.
At Hitman Canadian tweets, snarky, seemingly know-it-all Trebek, had a magical way of making us feel dumb, but also entertain us at the same time. R.I.P. to a Canadian legend. I think that's well said. I think that is well said. All right, when we come back, a lot more NFL. Wesley Woodyard coming up at the top of hour number three. I mentioned Steve Elkington is back in his familiar spot. It is a tradition unlike any other. Elk, the week of the Masters on the Jim Rome podcast. We will push that on Wednesday.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Listen up, not all beef jerky is exactly the same. In fact, Old Trapper is so much better than any beef jerky I've ever had. Better for you, better tasting, higher in essential protein than chips, sugar-filled energy bars, or candy. Make sure you ask for Old Trapper by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what is your beef? Just checking out some of the matchups in college football this weekend. Notre Dame coming off that huge win over Clemson. They get Boston College next up. We already talked about Indiana and Michigan State. Indiana's top 10 in both polls. Penn State and Nebraska, a couple of disappointing teams right now. USC and Arizona. Good to see that conference kicking off. And Wisconsin is going to be back in action, looking to punch Michigan in the face like everybody does now. That's next up for them. Top of the hour, Wesley Woodyard will be joining us. All right, so to me, and I've mentioned this, actually, before I get to this, some quick reaction. Rome, beautiful and thoughtful tribute to the trivia goat. Thank you. You're welcome. Mailman Casey, and a lot of you are on this part. Hey, Jim, all those answers sound like Hawk trying to answer a sports question. Casey, you were not the first to come up with that. Romy, are those clips from Jeopardy or live audio of Hawk's interview for the Jim Rome Show? Signed, Geoff and Lincoln. Mike D, quote, I'd like to see Hawk answer those sports questions. Jamie in Green Bay, Trebek should have hit some of those nerds with the manual buzzer on those wrong sports answers.
100 plus assists in an NHL season has been accomplished only 13 times, 11 times by this player. Joe, who's Magic Johnson? Oh, no.
Thing is, I mean, that's not even the worst guess. You don't like, I mean, it's a horrible guess. At least Magic Johnson did dish. At least Magic Johnson did get credited with lots and lots of assists. Is there anyone anywhere who thought that Magic Johnson played hockey other than that guy? What kind of an answer is that? I understand having to guess, but don't guess out your ass like that. 100 assists is very unusual in the NHL. It's only happened a few times. Who was the last one to get it? Einstein? Magic Johnson. Who is Carl Lewis? Good job, Albie. Hey, Jim, what is do a 180?
Do a 180?
No.
Ritz eyebrows.
Do a 180?
No.
Somebody texted the other day about what happened to Ritz eyebrows. He has none. Don't you get off powder. Leave this guy alone, man. Mike in Buffalo sent that. And then he warned Josh Allen, shutting up all the haters. Man, Josh Allen looked amazing. First month of the year, he looked like John Elway. Then he looked nothing like him. And now he does again. Liz tweets, quote, no dumbass. R.I.P. Alex Trebek. Nice dumbass. Job, Rome. Thank you, Liz. He didn't say that, but you know he thought that. And he didn't need to say that because the tone in which he said no generally suggested that. He would say no. But what he really was thinking was no dumbass.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Dumbass.
Dumbass.
He just was too classy to say it, but I know what he was thinking. Or at least his tone suggested it. James Rome III. The utter disdain Alex Trebek had in his voice when saying no cannot be replicated. He will be missed.
Oh, no.
Signed, Beauregard in Pacific Palisades. I keep waiting for the punchline. Isn't there more? Beauregard? I said it would be impossible to ever follow that guy, but somebody has to, I think. And if somebody has to, it might as well be somebody named Beauregard. And if you're named Beauregard, you better live in the Palisades. Romy, I love Chipotle. I eat it every time I go for a drive. Regards, meth head, police car, pooper.
Can I poop in your car, man?
You could have already been on your way to jail.
Yeah, not pooping.
Get in the car.
All right, so one of the more fascinating aspects to me and the pro-athlete lifestyle is the pro-athlete diet. And it comes up quite a bit when I talk to these guys because I'm always curious about what kind of fuel they're smashing up. And more importantly, how much and what they're running on. Like, take a look at The Rock on Instagram. He eats an ocean of fish every single day. And then there were those stories about how Mike Phelps would inhale 4 plates of spaghetti. And depending on what account you read, he would smash up 6,000 to 10,000 calories daily when he was training for the Olympics. And you can save the tweet about how the bong rips probably helped with his appetite. Very obvious, very lame, very predictable. Joe Thomas told me that he crushed 2 sleeves of Girl Scout cookies before going to sleep every single night when he was a lineman. Nick Hardwick was on my podcast. He told me he was vacuuming. He was hoovering Ben and Jerry's ice cream in bed on the regular every night, like at 11 o'clock at night. I mean, these dudes' bodies are high-octane machines. Their metabolism is set to broil 24/7. They're burning the calories before they even get them down the gullet. So nothing really surprises me about these guys. Or at least I thought, until I heard what Falcons fullback Keith Smith was grubbing on. First things first, all due respect to my man. He was an amazing jungle guest earlier this summer. He brought some crazy positivity with him. He made it much better. He made everything much better. And he's a 7-year vet in the not-for-long league, playing in a position that does not get the respect it deserves. So I'm not here to question him or his methods at all. In fact, I'm here to marvel. With that said, here's what he told the Endless Hustle podcast. Here's what he told them he fuels up on this past weekend.
You probably won't believe it, but most people who know me know that it's legit. I actually eat Chipotle about 4 or 5 times a day. This is not a joke. Like, this is 4 or 5 times a day. I got my bowl. Same thing every time. You know what you're going to get, the consistency. But I literally eat Chipotle about 4 or 5 times a day.
Chipotle, 4 to 5 times a day. Not 4 to 5 times a week or even a month. 4 to 5 or a year. 4 to 5 times a day. My man, I've done the math. That's a minimum of 28 times a week, 120 times a month, 1,460 times a year, and you heard him. He tagged it with. He was adamant. Oh, no, I'm not lying.
You're a liar.
I'm not a liar, and I'm not a felon. I'm addicted to the sea. Chipotle. Hey, again, I don't want to crack on this guy because if it ain't broke, you don't fix it. And my man is in the seventh year of his NFL career. He signed a multi-million dollar extension. He's important what they do. So, and by the way, he's going to need that extra money to keep that habit. But it's no secret that Chipotle's had a rough time now with the health department for years. There was the norovirus outbreak back in 17. Remember, they paid out 25 mil in federal fines. There are countless tweets every single day about people finding undercooked meat and hair in their burritos. Seriously, check out their mentions as recently as this morning. And there's not the not-so-flattering word association that always seems to come with Chipotle and their grub.
Diarrhea is the great equalizer. Think about it.
You think I'm making that up? Check out this parody PSA about eating Chipotle.
If you're like other Americans, you love to eat Chipotle, but you hate all those terrible bloodstains in your underwear. Well, now there's a product that can clean even bloodstains caused by Chipotle right off your underwear. Chipotle away!
Anyway, Keith Smith has got 3 carries this year. But that's less about him and more about the position. It is worth pointing out that he goes to Chipotle more in one day than he's toted the rock for the Falcons all season. Now, if you're thinking this dude is slamming fatty burritos and chips exclusively, he's not. He's actually going lean protein the entire way.
What's your order?
I get chicken, and then I get the side of rice, and then I get a side of beans, and then that's it.
All right, so chicken, rice, and beans, and that's it. So that sounds pretty good, right? That's fine. But since it's so simple, why not just kind of make it yourself, right? Or have somebody make that for you. Why go to Chipotle 4 to 5 times a day? Unless he's ordering multiple bowls at once and saving them. But then the only thing more dicey than Chipotle is leftover Chipotle. Again, my man has got a plan and he's working his plan. And he knows what he's doing. And it's working. He is an athlete at the highest level. And he's paid like one. And he performs like one. But damn, I gotta say, man, that was a little shocking to hear. Shout out to my man Keith Smith, and more importantly, to his insides for tolerating that diet. My man's got an iron stomach. That's amazing. 4 to 5 times a day. I mean, could you eat anything 4 to 5 times a day? D-Rod tweets, I haven't had Chipotle 4 to 5 times in my life. Is it that good? Bleep looks nasty. I don't know, dude. I don't go. He goes there 4 to 5 times a day, man. Who are you, Logan Rome?
Rogan Lowe.
Logan loves it, man. Logan's all about it. Logan, he would go every day if I let him.
Rogan Lowe.
Not 4 or 5 times a day. He'd go once a day, though, for sure. Although I will say, Logan also is an enormous chronic taco dude. He's all about chronic taco. 1-800-636-8686. Keith, let me ask you this, man. 4 to 5 times a day, chicken, rice, and beans. What? No condiments? No salsa? No guac? I guess that's just lean protein. I don't know, man. How do you argue with a guy who's played 7 years in the NFL and at that position? Chris, no longer in St. Pete, tweets, making a Chipotle run 4 to 5 times a day is not a big deal. Signed, Carl Winslow telling that customer those donuts were for his pregnant wife.
Welcome to the party, pal.
I do that sometimes. I'll go into a donut place.
Donuts.
Janet will get like one donut hole, and I'll get like the biggest donut, and I'll order both. I'll go, yeah, I'll have that donut hole, and she'll have that big, gigantic bear claw over there. Jimmy! What?
Donuts.
Hey, Delonte. Yeah, I've noticed that Mark Cuban's been posting pics on Twitter of Delonte. and that Delonte's getting clean, Delonte's getting help. I saw Delonte in the gym. I saw Delonte on a horse. That warmed my heart. That made me happy. I'm sure I'm not the only one. That was good to see. What you need to do is improve your phone call performance. In other words, step your game up. You can do better.
Step your game up.
I want to remind you of my latest podcast is with Darius Butler. That's up right now. That's still live. You can look for that before we add a new one on Wednesday. And the new one is Elk, Steve Elkington, Masters. Man, how about the Masters in November? How weird is that? How weird is this year? And how weird is Augusta in the fall? It's going to look amazing, I'm sure. In the meantime, I've got Wesley Woodyard coming up, and that's next segment. Dear Rome, Kevin Smith must get me 4 to 5 times a day as well. Regards, Explosive Rhea. Francis in Glendale. War Ira Craig using Kit Kat bars as kazoos. For the last time, if he is homeless, he is hungry, and he would not use food as a prop. He would use food as food. What homeless person have you ever seen offered a Kit Kat bar and then turned it into a kazoo? No, man, you're going to eat that. I'm not, and if somebody offered me it, I'd eat it. All right, don't go anywhere. 2 hours down means 1 hour to go, and 1 hour to go means we start it with Wesley Woodyard, friend of the program, talking some NFL. That's coming up next during the Jungle. I am Jim Rome. Stay right here, and while you're at it, hit me up on the phones, 1-800-636-8686.